Burns and Gambo on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station special presentation. This is the Round Ball Roundtable, brought to you by the Investor Hub.
Yeah, for the next 45 minutes, we're all Suns all the times here, live from the Ocean Community Studios on the Burns and Gambo Show. Two segments of our Round Ball Roundtable, and then we'll talk with Suns GM James Jones at the bottom of this hour at 3:30 to get his take on the state of the Suns. Winners last night over the New Orleans Pelicans to close out a road trip 2-1. They're back home tomorrow, taking on the L.A. Clippers. You got me, you got John Gambadoro, and of course you've got our good friend from the morning show, the Vince Murata, Dan Bickley radio program. Vince Murata, PA announcer of the Phoenix Suns, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Vinny, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good.
What's up, Vinny?
Gambo, how you been?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
I haven't seen you guys in forever.
It has been a while.
I saw Burnsy over Zoom on Sunday.
You did?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did the pregame virtual tailgate for the Cardinals. Yeah, it was good to see you.
I haven't seen Burnsy in I think like 4 weeks now, almost three, maybe 4 weeks.
Has it been that long? I mean,
seen you in like a month.
Yeah, full disclosure, you're working at home today, so yeah, your Gambo's at home, and I haven't seen him in a while. So, but
I'm at home. Like, isn't technology great?
It's fantastic.
It is amazing.
You guys, I'm at the studio. You guys are sitting at home in the home office. You know, just hanging out in your sweatpants and your comfy clothes, doing radio shows right now.
I put in a request to see if I could actually do a show from a villa in Lake Como. I'm just waiting to see if that's going to get approved.
The time difference might make that problematic for you.
It might be.
What time is it in Italy right now?
Like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it might be a bit of a problem. That might be a bit of a problem.
Gambo, that's a weird flex, man. If you're in Lake Como, why do you want to do a show?
That's true.
All right, Suns last night, winners over the Pelicans. And Vinny, I'm going to start with you on this one because after last night, it's all anybody's talking about. Is Bismack Biyombo, his 16 points, and the fact that he was on the floor in crunch time last night in the closing minutes of that game and not Jalen Smith. I know it's just been two games, but kind of the money question about Bismack Biyombo, has he earned himself a more permanent spot on this roster beyond this 10-day contract for which he's been signed?
I think so. I didn't read too much into the crunch time thing last night just because of Biyombo's experience and you know his size. He's a little bit more sturdy as a defender at this point than Jalen Smith. And when you got Jonas Valanciunas on the other side, he's a handful. He gives everybody fits on the Suns roster. Even DeAndre Ayton struggles with Valanciunas, and he's a really good defender. So I didn't read too much into that. But, yeah, to answer your question, Burnsy, I do think so. I think the Suns were really fortunate that a guy like Biyombo was available at this time when – you know, desperation struck, and they've had to scour the wire. And league-wide, over 100 guys have been signed to these 10-day contracts, and a guy like Biyombo, who's a 10-year veteran, former first-round pick, and knows how to play the game, was just kind of floating out there, staying ready and staying available. I think it's a great pickup, and it could pay dividends down the stretch, and I think it should. I think you should get that chance.
And the question, Gambo, then becomes what exactly does that look like, right? Like if he stays beyond the 10-day contract, what does that mean for the playing time of Jalen Smith? What does it mean for the playing time of Bismack Biyombo? What does it mean for the center rotation beyond Ayton and beyond McGee? I mean, I'd like for him to stay, too, because I don't think you can have enough guys like Bismack Biyombo on your bench. You never know when you're going to need him. What do you think it would look like after these 10 days are over if the Suns decide to keep him?
Look, I think you got to, you know, do you prefer Frank with this roster or do you prefer Biyombo with this roster? Because, you know, your top two guys are going to be DA and JaVale, and that's not going to change. And when you get to the playoffs, those are the two guys that are going to play. Everybody else is, you know, emergency break glass type of guy. But look at what Jalen Smith has done playing in the starting lineup with Chris Paul. Matter of fact, I'll even tell you guys, I spoke with an NBA executive earlier today just saying, hey, what is going on with Bismack Biyombo? And what the guy told me, he goes, look, all the bigs are going to look decent with the Phoenix Suns right now. I go, why? Because of Chris? They go, no, not only Chris, because of the shooting.
Yeah.
Because of the shooting. When you're playing with a team that shoots as well as the Suns do, and you're playing with a point guard like Chris Paul, you know, these guys, Jalen Smith looks amazing playing with that first unit, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He did last night in the first quarter.
Opened up the game with a three-pointer, and then he gets a dunk, and it's like, okay. Yeah, but he benefits from playing with the first unit and Chris. And, you know, Biyombo's a veteran, and he's come in, and because they shoot the ball so well,
You know, it's just it's freeing things up for these guys.
Yeah, Vinny, I think back to last year, and I think about guys like Langston Galloway. I think about guys like Etwan Moore. They all had their moments, right? They all had little pockets where the Suns needed them to do something special, to be something special. And they were, and they did it. That's the reason why the Suns won 51 games, and that's the reason why the Suns, in part, you know, and so I think that it doesn't, I wonder how much Biyombo has to contribute during the regular season beyond those little pockets, because the way the Suns are built, even during the regular season, they're still going to go as far as the Devin Bookers and the Chris Pauls and the Mikal Bridges and the DeAndre Aytons are going to carry them. Are we asking, do we need that much out of Bismack Biyombo during the regular season if he's going to stay around?
No, I don't think so. I think Gambo used the perfect phrase. And in fact, I used the same phrase on our show this morning. Is we had a question that popped up in social studies about the big rotation. And yeah, it's going to be DeAndre Ayton and JaVale McGee if everything's working perfectly for the Suns. The Kaminsky factor is interesting because he was effective when he was in there. But I think Jalen Smith, with his now confidence in shooting the three, at least provides a little floor spacing. You could sprinkle in some 4 minutes. But Biyombo is a break glass emergency kind of guy for a playoff situation where if you're going up against a team with a lot of bigs, that's six fouls. That's a decade worth of experience that you can lean on. He's good in the pick and roll. You see his energy that he brings, but I don't think they need to lean on him heavily, if at all, during the regular season.
And I tell you, Gambo, another reason why I like him so much is for, okay, we talk about everybody coming back, Ayton, McGee, maybe it's as soon as Thursday against the Clippers. We'll see. That's the hope, I know, based off of our conversations yesterday. You keep a guy like Bismack Biyombo around for the emergency that you can't anticipate, right? For the, okay, yes. What if you get to March and, God forbid, something happens, right? And even though you might not need him now, and even though you say to yourself there's no minutes for him now, it's that emergency that you can't, that you just, it's like an insurance policy, right? And you don't know when you're going to cash it in. That, to me, is probably the biggest reason to keep him.
I think so, because, you know, last year Dario went down, and then, you know, when they got to the, I mean, you guys all remember everybody asking that question in the Milwaukee series, like, should they play Jalen Smith? Because you're just looking for an answer. You're looking for, and obviously they shouldn't have played Jalen Smith last year, but you were looking for what could they do. I mean, if somebody goes down or gets in foul trouble, you've got an experienced big that, you know, that can come in and, you know, could play as little as 5 or 6 minutes, or could play as many as 18 to 22 for you and contribute and help. So you know, I'm in favor of keeping him beyond the 10 days. Now, we'll talk to James Jones in a little bit and find out, you know, what his thought process is. But I think that's definitely something that they've got to consider.
Yeah. The other thing, Vinny, to talk about, and something I'm sure you guys talked about this morning, we've discussed it as well, is that the common thread, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it's JaVale McGee, whether it's Jalen Smith, whether it's Bismack Biyombo, it seems to be Chris Paul, doesn't it? I mean, it seems to be Chris Paul's ability. What was the line that Book had last night? Man, this guy, he was sitting next to Paul. This guy's made a lot of big men, a lot of money over the years. It does seem like in many ways that if you're a big man and you want to put up good numbers and you're smart, you know how to play basketball, that Chris Paul is the perfect guy for you to play next to.
Yeah, have you guys watched DeAndre Jordan play basketball in the last several years that he hasn't been a teammate of Chris Paul's?
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Looks a little different. I mean, he's still serviceable, but a little bit different. He's not dunking every time down the floor. Chris Paul just has that knack of making not only the bigs, but everybody else better because of that passing. And it is funny, and that was one of the takeaways I had watching the game last night when you see Biyombo not only just contributing, but taking over the game in a crucial stretch in his second game on a 10-day contract.
Yeah.
And did you notice he was the first guy off the bench for them last night?
Yeah, I mean,
the first player off the bench.
Yeah, which is weird. And Cam Johnson and Campaign normally are, but Johnson's in the starting lineup right now, and I don't think they want to lean that heavily on Jalen Smith to start games, but yeah, he was. As a guy on a 10-day contract, you can't argue that. He was the first guy off the bench. But yeah, the effect of Chris Paul has led to five different players in the five position this year have had big numbers in individual games.
Yeah.
All of them that have played the position have had huge statistical impact on games.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago but the Chris Paul Frank Kaminsky combo was kicking it there for a while. I mean, they were like they were just the same, like they were sharing the same brain, and they just knew exactly what the other guy was going to do, and it was great to watch. And we forget about it because it was a while ago and Frank's been hurt, but he was doing this same stuff with Frank Kaminsky a month ago that he's doing with Biombo now.
Yeah, and Chris Paul, even afterwards, when Frank had that stretch, Chris Paul was very complimentary. He's like, look, he's always in the right place. He makes it real easy because he's always doing the right thing, and he was during that stretch. And I'm bummed for Frank that he can't be a part of this right now, and hopefully he can get back soon and create even a bigger logjam. It's a good problem to have at this point of the season,
all
no
right,
doubt.
Vince Murata joining us here from the Bickley and Murata in the morning show. Of course, me and Gambo, and we're talking about the Phoenix Suns. It's our Round Ball Roundtable, and when we come back, something else that kind of caught our eye and that we were talking about before the show today, that was Cam Johnson and how he's played not only in the last month and a half, but specifically how he's played since moving into the starting lineup for the Suns. What does that say about his present? What does that say about his future? That's next. Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Now, more Round Ball Roundtable, brought to you by the Investor Hub.
All right, we pulled in Vince Murata from the Bickley and Murata in the morning show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. He joins myself and Gambo talking Suns basketball after their win last night against the Pelicans. Next up for the Suns, they're at home against the Clippers tomorrow night, then the Heat on Saturday, then it's back out on the road for more games. But in the meantime, and of course, James Jones coming up at the bottom of this hour, 3:30. If you're a Suns fan, you're going to want to hang around and listen to that one for sure, because there's a lot to talk to James about. Gambo, I'm going to start with you on this one. The Cam Johnson conversation, five games that he has filled in for Jay Crowder as the starter, and it's gotten to the point where his head coach is encouraging him to shoot the ball even more than he's shooting now, because he's just so red smoking hot right now, not only from the three-point line, but just in general. He's averaging about 16.5 points per game. What, if anything, does this say about Cam Johnson's short-term role and long-term role with the Suns, given how well he's played starting for Jay in that starting five?
Yeah, I mean, you get to that point, right? You're gonna have to pay him. You're gonna have to pay DA. You're gonna have to pay Book again. You know, the only thing I look at long-term is, you know, Jay Crowder, and that I think Cam could start at that spot. I like Jay. Jay brings a lot to the team that Cam doesn't, but Cam is getting much better defensively. And he is bulking up a little bit. But look, Jay's under contract this year, and then Jay's under contract next year. And then I think you got a decision to make. I mean, because Jay will be 32 years old in his final season here and be making $10 million. You know, that next year, do you want Jay Crowder at 33 years old, or do you want Cam Johnson to play that role? And maybe you get, you know, a backup that's more of a fit as a defender for less money. I start to project ahead because I just don't believe that they're going to be able to pay every single guy and keep this thing running for 7 or 8 years.
There wouldn't be any reason to make any kind of a switch now, though, would there, Vinny?
No.
Or Gambo, or both of you?
Go ahead, Vinny, go ahead.
I thought about it, but I think what it boils down to is something that Gambo hit on is, yeah, I'm a huge Cam Johnson fan. I'm a huge Jay Crowder fan, too, but Jay Crowder does a lot of the things that not many people are equipped to do for a championship-level team. He's an irritant. He's a tremendous passer. He makes some boneheaded passes, but he makes some great passes, too. He gets under the skin of the opponents. He's a little bit more physical than Cam Johnson. But to have that combo right now, and I know it's always prudent to look ahead to contract situations, but I'm just, you know, I'm living in the moment and I'm enjoying it and can't wait for Jay Crowder to get back to see both of those guys man that position. But Cam Johnson, you said red smoking hot, I think was the phrase you used, Bernsie.
I think it was something like that. I was throwing out a bunch of words. 20, I'm not even sure.
20 straight games of two or more three-pointers, which is now the longest streak in the NBA. During that stretch, he's shooting almost 49% from three-point range. So we've all been waiting for, you know, and Cam Johnson, since he got here, he came to the Suns with that label. He's the best shooter in this draft. Now, there was a lot of other things said about Cam Johnson on draft night. He's an old man. He's got bad hips, whatever. But at least he could shoot. And every time he shoots the ball from three-point range with that perfect form, you expect it to go in. And that's finally happening. The light has gone on. He is a dead-eye NBA three-point shooter at this point, and it's been so much fun to watch.
And yet, to Gambo, and I'll turn to you on this one, there are so many other things that he's grown into that I didn't expect him to be as good a defender as he is. He's not, you know, excellent top-shelf defender, but he's good enough that he's not going to be a liability out mm-hmm. there. But I think more than anything, his ability to drive the basket, his willingness to drive the basket, and even a couple times last night, his passing, his ability to see the open guy. I feel like there's so much more offensively to Cam Johnson's game than shooting three-pointers. It's evolved a lot more than I thought it would. Thoughts on that, Gambo?
Yeah, there's a point in the game last night where Ish Wainwright got the ball, and I think they on the broadcast said, well, he could have drove to the basket, but instead he kicked it out to Cam, and Cam hits a three-pointer. And I was like, good, smart decision by Ish Wainwright. I mean, you got an open Cam Johnson. I don't care what. You almost feel like that's more of a high-percentage shot than Ish Wainwright going in for a layup right now because he's so unconscious. The intangibles are coming. He's getting better at it. He's working. He's bulked up. He is. He'll never, ever be the, like Vinny said, and I agree. I mean, you know, Jay's that, I'm going to get under your skin. I'm going to be that thorn. Jay's always going to have that. And it might be a role for Jay after his contract ends here on a one-year deal or a two-year deal for less money to continue to play that role, you know, with Cam. Because what I like is the combination of the two of them. Yeah. Not just, hey, Cam Johnson, you're starting power forward, and then you go get a second-round kid to be your backup or a guy to – both of those guys can play the same amount of minutes. They both could start. They both could come off the bench. They both could shoot the three. Jay does give you intangible things that Cam doesn't, but I do think that, you know, to your point earlier, Bernsie, like Cam is getting a lot better at those things.
Yeah, and Vinny, I'm with you in that given how tantalizingly close the Suns came to winning a championship this year, I really don't spend a lot of time thinking about the later. I'm very much focused on the now, and I'm not thinking about contracts or this or that. That's a conversation for the offseason. But I got to admit, you start going down that rabbit hole a little bit, and it's hard not to wonder how much money Cam Johnson is going to get for that next contract and how the Suns are going to make it fit and how much does he make relative to a guy like Mikal Bridges, who, you know, is obviously a much superior defensive player on the floor and is that, you know, a classic model 3-and-D guy and maybe even better than that. It's hard for me sometimes to not have my brain go there and try and figure out how all the puzzle pieces are going to fit and just how much Cam Johnson would be worth to the Suns, how much they'd be willing to pay him to make sure he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you're worried about that, I don't think, well, I mean, the numbers are going to go up just as time passes, but you know, if you want to use Bridges' deal as the guideline, what did he get, 4 years, $90 million?
Yeah.
You know, right now, do I think that, you know, if Cam Johnson was extension eligible, would he be 4 years, $90 million? Maybe not. But as time passes, it could get close to that. I don't know. I've never been a plan for the future guy. I'd be a terrible GM because I would just bask in the now. That's how I live my life. I don't worry about the future. It's really paid off for me.
Cambo, shooters get paid. Is that what you were saying?
That is true. Yeah, and if he continues to shoot 48% from three, you could forget everything I just said.
I mean, you're not gonna risk letting him get to restricted free agency.
No,
there'll be 10 to 15 teams lined up ready to pay him. You're going to try to lock it up. The question is, what is he worth? I wouldn't think that he's worth what Mikal Bridges got, but you know, it might be close. Might be closer than we think because he is an elite level shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, and those guys do get paid. Vinny, good to hear your voice, if not see your face. Hopefully next time it'll be face-to-face when we do this roundtable and we have you on the show. Always good to have you on the show. Enjoy your stuff in the mornings, as always. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. You know we appreciate it.
It was fun, and while I was connected and listening, I was enjoying your Cliff Kingsbury conversation. I think there was that was a very interesting conversation.
The one based off of...
What part did you like?
The fact that some people will never give Cliff Kingsbury the credit. I mean, I was getting hit by Cardinal fans on Twitter on Sunday going, he's got to go. I was like, okay, I've been critical of Cliff Kingsbury when I feel it's warranted. And there's been plenty of warranted situations to give the guy a little bit of grief for in-game situations and play calling and things. But I thought that was a really sturdy, mature game plan, and they carried it out pretty well. That wasn't the game to get on him, but it just goes to prove the point that, you know, some people will never get on board with him.
And it was a good column from Bick. I'm glad it kind of kick-started that conversation. Thanks, Vinny. We'll be listening tomorrow at 6.
All right, take care, guys.
You got it. Vince Murata from Bickley and Murata in the mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Our Big Suns block continues. James Jones, general manager of the Suns, joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. State of the Suns, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC. State of the Suns. Burns and Gambo take you inside the Suns front office and talk with a key decision maker.
It's always a pleasure to have James Jones joining us on the show, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. He joins us on the 72-sold sports line as part of our State of the Suns here on the Burns and Gambo Show. James, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Congratulations on another win. We always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me, and I hope you guys had a great holiday season.
Yeah, well, James, it was fun to watch this team play. Didn't get the win on Christmas Day. It's been a nice little rivalry this year with Golden State. But let's just talk about weathering the storm. You've had to go without JaVale and Jay and Abdul and D.A. and even went a few games without Monty. You got Monty back last night, but what kind of update can you give us on the possible return of some of these players for the Clippers game tomorrow?
We'll still determine that. I mean, we're still evaluating what those guys are. They're clearing protocols, but as we all know, It's very difficult to just come off of a 6 or 7 day hiatus and just start playing games. So the hope is that we'll get Jay, DeAndre, some reps and hopefully get them back in the next few days. But as far as tomorrow's game, we're still uncertain about that.
Okay. So part of it is making sure, coming off of health and safety protocol, is a little bit of a ramp up to make sure these guys are conditioned, that they get some practices in. Is that what you want to do before they play?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not just being cleared from protocol, but it's clear to return to play. It's like being at home in the bed for 6 days and then just jumping up and going to the gym and playing an NBA game. You can't do that. You can actually create more risk doing it that way. So, but our guys are itching to get back out there because we've been playing some good basketball and they want to keep it going.
How hard is it in the midst of all of this to manage your roster, to make the decisions that you, and it's not just you, it's every general manager in the league obviously having to deal with this, but this kind of unprecedented stretch every team in the league has gone through these last 2 or 3 weeks. How much of a challenge does that add to what's already a really challenging job, James?
I mean, it's difficult, but, you know, players respond and coaches respond, and in sports, that's the nature of this business. You're always responding to injury issues or availability issues or coaching changes. But, you know, you do a lot of your work in the off season and the preseason. You try to build a team, build a group that will be resilient when they're facing these challenges. And then you lean on your staff and your players to perform. And our guys have performed exceptionally.
The big question that I think everybody wants to know based off of what's going on, just the last couple of games, is Bismack Biyombo and whether this 10-day contract that he's under could turn into something more, that this could be somewhat of an audition of sorts for him. Do you start entertaining thoughts about keeping a guy like that beyond the 10-day, beyond this COVID period that you're in, given how well he's played for you in these two games?
I mean, it could. I mean, that's always the hope whenever we add a guy to our group. I mean, we're very intentional with what we do with our roster. I don't think there's a player on this roster who we don't foresee, if they're playing well, being a part of it long term and contributing. And so Bismack is someone we identified in the offseason for, you know, some uncontrollable reasons and just by the nature of life, we weren't able to get him. But we've always targeted him because we think he represents what we're about. And he's a guy that competes at a high level, cares about winning, and is a great teammate. So we've been pleased with what he's done, and the hope is always to be able to retain and add guys of his caliber.
How much of that is, and what a benefit playing with Chris and then with all the shooters that you have. I mean, it's nice to be a big in this league and come to the Phoenix Suns with the shooting and the point guard play that you have. But how much of it is it an insurance policy for you to make sure, you know, in case emergency break last, you've got DA and you've got JaVale, but you never know what's going to happen, foul trouble, injuries down the road. How much of it is setting yourself up so that you have a quality player at that third spot to be there in case you need it?
Well, I just look at it as trying to build a deep team. And, you know, a lot of times the hierarchy shakes out on its own. But, I mean, we have seen and coaches demonstrated that when we need a guy to perform for us and the best player for the position will get a chance to play and help the team. And I think you look at how we've been structured and built, we've always done that. We've always said, like, if we can add a guy that can help our team be better, we'll get him in the fold, and he'll go out there and produce and do whatever the team needs him to do to be successful. And so Bismack is one of those. And we just hope that as we reintegrate our guys, that we're able to continue to build the habits and create a culture where every guy that comes in here knows that we'll rely on them to win us some games.
But because of health and safety protocols, we've seen, I think it's about 90 players have signed 10-day contracts. You've got veterans, Joe Johnson, Greg Monroe, Isaiah Thomas, and then you've got players like you signed, MJ Walker and Paris Bass and Emmanuel Terry and a few others. For some of these players, it's their opportunity. It's their dream. They get to come to the NBA, and if even it's only for 10 days, they get to put on an NBA uniform and fulfill their childhood dreams. What do you tell these players with the situation that they're in when they're coming in on a 10-day contract?
It's a special opportunity for them, and it's a dream come true for all of us. And, you know, you have to make the most of your opportunity and leave a lasting impression that you hope can turn into something greater. But, you know, I actually just tell them, you're coming in to be a part of something. You don't have to prove. You don't have to manage or handle the load. We have 14, 10, 12 guys that can do it. Come in, sit in, and add value to the group. And we appreciate that. We see that, and other teams hopefully will see the same, and you maybe earn another shot.
James Jones, general manager of the Phoenix Suns. He's joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show, our weekly visit with one of the decision makers from the Suns front office. And James is joining us here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Of course, we asked you three or four questions about Bismack Biyombo. It'd be, you know, irresponsible for us not to bring up Jalen Smith when having this conversation about guys who have played well for you in the middle of this kind of COVID outbreak that the league is dealing with. How has his game evolved, and how have you seen that evolution over these last few games that he's had to play big minutes for you, James?
Well, he's just been decisive. I think exposure and repetition at some point, when you have players as talented as Jalen, the game slows down. And I think he understands that the role we ask him to fill is important to the team, and he cares about performing well, and our team as a whole we want all of our guys to do well. And so he's been great. His energy has been there. His recognition has been great. He's been finishing well in the paint. He's been mixing it up. He's made a couple threes, but I think he's been extremely effective when he gets to the paint, and that's either rolling or driving, crashing the offensive glass. He's just found a way to get into the middle of the paint and be effective, and that helps us, and that helps him grow his confidence, because he's a good player, and he will be a good player in this league for a long time.
You see him more as a four or a five, or a guy that could play both positions?
I see him as a forward. I mean, I see him as an interior player who can play on the perimeter, but I see him as a forward that thrives in the paint. You know, we talk a lot about fours and five, and who's a five and who's a four. I think most people get it twisted. You're really talking about big, small forwards or small centers / power forwards. And I just look at him as a forward who can complement the guys on the court. And because we have so much versatility, we can go with just three great perimeter players and two interior scorers and figure out how to help them all be effective.
You know, there's been this belief with a lot of people that because his option wasn't picked up, that he would be a trade candidate for you at the trade deadline. But with him playing so well, it definitely might be somebody, you know, you want to hold on to. Obviously, you don't know what you're going to do right now, but has there been interest over the years in Jalen? Have teams called you and expressed interest in him?
Jalen's a good player. I mean, we've always said that. If you look at the landscape of the league, there's a big need for young, athletic, big men who can play. And so I know there's interest in him around the league, but that's not what we are. We've always said, you know, because we didn't pick up his option, that doesn't mean that we don't believe in him and that we're still not committed to him developing and helping our team. Because in instances like this, you see that as long as you're a part of his team, your expectation is to help us, and our expectation is to help you. And he's been great for us, and you know that's not going to change. Like, we're committed to this team for reasons like this. When our guys are called upon to play, they produce.
Cam Johnson has been such a fantastic player for the Suns since you drafted him, in some expected ways and in some unexpected ways. Based off of what you've seen out of him when he's had to fill in for Jay as a starter in this lineup, is he showing you some different things in terms of what his abilities are? Is his game starting to grow a little bit before your eyes, James?
I think he's exposing his game. If you track Cam throughout his career in you know, Pittsburgh to North Carolina, even in his early years with us, you see the flashes. You see all of the things that he's doing in spurts, but I just think he's been able to put it all together. Cam's always been an athlete. He's a sneaky athlete. He's always been able to shoot it. You know, as a guard, as a quarterback, he's always been a great decision maker. He's just putting it together right now, and I think the more he plays and the more he understands his teammates, the better he gets.
All right, let's lead me with this. Bama or Georgia, who do you got in a championship game?
It's very hard to go against Saban. He's a coach that's committed to the fundamentals, and you know, he tries to win the line of scrimmage on both sides, and so you never go against Saban.
All right. I'm gonna take Georgia. I think it's gonna be hard to beat them a second time. So I'm gonna take the Bulldogs.
I'm with James on this one. I
just don't want to go against Saban.
Bet against Saban at your own risk. Bet against Saban.
I'm just so tired of watching them win every. I'm so tired of them, though. They're such a great dynasty, but it's just, you know, every year I'd like to see somebody else win it.
Well, at some point, greatness becomes boring, and I think that's what you get. But you just have to respect both of them. Like, listen, Georgia is an amazing program. Smart's a great coach. It's going to be a battle. I just think Saban's been there too many times to fail.
Yeah. James, good to hear your voice, man. Thanks for coming on for a few. We appreciate it. Always look forward to our chats. We'll catch up with you in a few, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it. James Jones joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. James Jones, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. You got any thoughts about the things that we've been talking about here on the Burns and Gambo Show? You can text us on the FanDuel text line. 620-620 is where you can reach us when it comes to that. Coming up, the Cardinals, technically speaking, have three possible outcomes when it comes to the seeds in the playoffs. What do those matchups look like? What are the Cardinals' chances in those matchups? That's coming up, Burns and Gambo.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you live from the Auction Community Studios. The Arizona Cardinals, the Seahawks on Sunday afternoon. And at the same time, just about every single game that has relevance to the Cardinals and their potential playoff matchup the next weekend will all be going on all at once. So there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching among the fans. If you're in the stadium, you're going to be on your smartphone, or you're going to be watching the scoreboard. If you're at home, there's no doubt you're probably going to have the two TV setups. So you're watching all sorts of things at the same time because there is a lot to be decided. As far as the seeds go, there are three options for the Arizona Cardinals, three and only three. They're either going to end up as the number five seed, they'll end up as the number three seed, or in an unusual set of circumstances, they could even end up as the number two seed, Gambo. That's it. Two, three, or five. There's nowhere else that they could land. Now, within those seeds, there are different opponents they could play, especially the fifth seed. There's like three different teams they could play. But as far as seeding goes, there's three options. They're either going to be the two, the three, or the five, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm not confident either way with what I think, because I do think there's a chance that the Cardinals win and the Rams lose, and the Cardinals end up winning a division and hosting a playoff game. I mean, I think the most likely scenario is that they're going to go on the road and play the Dallas Cowboys. But I think there's a chance that the 49ers beat the Rams. Why not? They need to win the game. They've had their number before. The Rams aren't that good. Cardinals take care of business. They end up tied, and the Cardinals win the tiebreaker, and they win the division.
Which is a very possible outcome. And that's why I was talking about the two TV setup. or at least having your smartphone out, because people are that 49ers-Rams game. Man, the 49ers have beaten the Rams five straight times.
Right.
And the last time they played them, it was a drubbing. I mean, they thumped them good on national TV by, if memory serves, running the football 44 times. I mean, that was one of those games where Kyle Shanahan said, our goal is to run at 40. We got 44 rushes, and they killed the Rams on national TV. So this is a matchup much like...
No OBJ, no Von Miller, right? I mean, a couple... They got some new faces, the Rams do. I don't think those guys were there for the last time they played the 49ers. I'd have to double check, but I don't think that they were.
I don't think they were either.
But I just see a 49ers team that, to me, it's just real simple. Like, they got to win. Like, if they – New Orleans plays Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's been playing a lot of close games, but, you know, New Orleans knows if they win the game and the Rams win, New Orleans gets in the playoffs. I mean, the 49ers are simply entering this game, you know, with the full belief that they've got to win. And if they've beaten them before and you – You know, what do you think of the Rams? Are they good? I mean, it's hard to tell. Like, the Rams have won games. They could end up winning this division. But, you know, as much as we talk about the criticism of the Cardinals, man, the Rams are right there with them. Like, they're 1-1A. There is so much criticism of the Rams, basically because of Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of belief that he's the guy that's, you know, with all the interceptions and the pick sixes, that he's the guy that's going to lead him deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, we have these stories that we send to each other every day, and sometimes not all of them make the cut. There was one yesterday in your email specifically about Matthew Stafford and the lack of faith in Matthew Stafford. And I almost brought it up again today as, you know what, I think we should circle back maybe and talk about this a little bit, because there is a belief that Matthew Stafford is playing awful football right now. I mean, to the point where how could you pick the Rams to go very deep in the playoffs? Because Matthew Stafford is in a funk. Now, to be fair, Kyler Murray was in a funk, and then he went to Dallas, and he played really well, and now everybody feels a lot better about Kyler Murray and how he's playing football. It's things, man, if there's one thing I've learned about this league, things change so fast. I mean, 4 days ago, the Dallas Cowboys were being talked about like they were the best team in the NFC, and the Arizona Cardinals were going to be lucky to make the playoffs. That narrative totally flipped when the Cowboys couldn't beat the Cardinals at home, to the point where there was a preview in the Dallas Morning News today about the possible playoff opponents for the Cowboys. Boy, in reading that today, it doesn't sound like they want anything to do with the Cardinals in a potential rematch there in Dallas, if that's what it comes to.
I mean, who are you going to play? If you're the Cowboys, you got to worry about yourself right now. You're not playing very well. But, yeah, one of the things they were looking at is, you know, they said the negatives. Kyler Murray's 8-0 at AT&T Stadium. It's hard to bet against that. And let's be honest, Arizona won the first meeting minus standout running back James Conner, left tackle DJ Humphries, wide receiver Rondale Moore, linebacker Marcus Golden. Talking about getting those players back. Talked about how the defensive coverages really confused Dak. I would think that's a good matchup for Arizona. From the Dallas perspective, I think that, you know, I'd have to look at what they could. Could they still get the Eagles? Like, that the familiarity with the Eagles would probably be best for them. But if I'm Dallas, I don't know that there's a lot of matchups there, home or on the road, that I feel very confident they're going to win.
No, and that's why we were going through all the different scenarios on Monday. We were talking about, okay, would you rather have the Eagles at home? Would you rather have the Niners at home? Would you rather go on the road and play Dallas or the Rams or Tampa Bay? And the two of us decided that clearly if you go on the road, the best matchup for the Cardinals is Dallas, and not because Kyler's 8-0 there. I mean, that's part of it. That helps his confidence there. But the main reason why is that Dallas, of those three teams, looks like the most vulnerable, looks like the one that's the most gettable in terms of getting a win against them. Dallas, you know, you referenced it earlier in the show. There's a reason why I sent you that list of quarterbacks that the Cowboys beat during their four-game winning streak.
Yeah, they weren't any good.
It was garbage. It was junk. They beat Taysom Hill. They beat Taylor Heineke twice. It was Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm. I mean, it wasn't anything to make you go, oh, yeah, man, the Cowboys, they're a dynamic football team. They beat junk during that four-game win streak.
Yeah, there's 32 different scenarios that don't involve a tie for this coming week. 28 of them have the Cowboys maintaining the number four seed. So it's very likely that they maintain the number four seed. So I think that that's what they're probably, you know, that's what they're probably looking at. Now, who they're going to play in that number four seed is a different thing because it could be a few different teams. But the most likely scenario is that Dallas stays at number four.
Yeah. I'm looking at that playoff chart I passed along to you a couple of days ago. There's one scenario where they could move up to three. There is even one crazy scenario where they could move up to two. But you're right. Most of the scenarios, they're in number four.
And it's either Arizona or the Rams.
That's it.
They're going to play either Arizona or the Rams as the number four seed.
Yep. If they're the four seed, yep. it's going to be that's so in all likelihood.
They get the tiebreaker over both. They get the tiebreaker. The Cowboys would play either of those two teams because they have the tiebreaker over them. So if Dallas clinches the four seed, it's going to host the NFC West second place team, which is the Rams or the Cardinals.
Yeah. Lots of scenarios, lots of things that can play out. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we circle back to the health of the Arizona Cardinals. Tough decisions perhaps coming up on Sunday against Seattle. Is there a chance Cliff Kingsbury holds back not one, but both of his running backs for the game against Seattle? We'll tell you what Cliff had to say coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.